What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Woo, it's another great week here of NFL free agency. We are brought to you today by the Sit or Start Fantasy app, so make sure you check that out in your Google Play Store as well as the iTunes Store. I'm here with my co-hosts Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. Tim, how are you on this fine Sunday evening?
Oh, it's March Madness, and we're cooking with, what is it, lightning? What is it, Doug?
Did you figure that one out from last week? Yes, a monumental brain fart, and thank you for the couple people that pointed out to me on Twitter.
A couple?
It was a few.
There's a lot of people feeding ya. What to cook with.
I mean, oh, we're going to feed you. Like, this is what we're going to do.
I even had a couple friends be like, what? It's cooking with fire.
Yeah.
What is he talking
about? It's cooking with gas is what it is.
Cooking with gas.
Yeah. Fire, oil, butter, olive oil.
Crisco. If you're Paula Deen, butter.
Yeah. A pound.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to make some rice. First, you got to add a whole tub of butter. Oh man!
Now, what would go with the steak is just a heart attack.
Yes, I'll have my steak with a defibrillator, please. Always a good time. So, Tyler, what's new with you in the hood?
Oh, nothing. You know, the lovely sick kids going on, both of them. Yeah, my son puked 5 times in less than an hour.
Oh,
and it was all peas. I was chatting with Tim offline that he had ground beef and peas, but oddly enough the peas were the only thing to come up. So what we were thinking is maybe he's such a man that his body's only accepting the ground beef and is like, get these vegetables out of here.
Only
not
proteins.
Acceptable
maybe, but you know you got to feed him now is you got to give him some ground beef and rice, because when they have a bad tummy, that's like what you give your dog, right? Like a bland meal. Isn't that right? You guys own dogs?
Yes, no? I do. Yes. But I don't feed them.
Oh, you don't feed them at all? Oh, my God.
Yes,
I do.
They're
stuffed.
Well, your dog is Dion Lewis, if we go back to last episode. You know, he might still be in your backyard.
That's true. You know, unfortunately, he left a few hours after the podcast. And he moved down south to where it was warmer. So,
oh, poor yeah. dog. Do you have, like, lost dog sheets all over?
Yeah,
I actually had
some playing cards, and I just wrote on them, and I stapled them to telephone poles here in the neighborhood, but I haven't got any hits yet, so I don't think anyone cares.
Shoot.
They're like, oh, Dion Lewis is gone? Psh, whatever. We'll sign other people.
Funny thing is, you don't have to worry about a car hitting him because he's so elusive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
jump cut, he would just totally dodge a car. He might be athletic enough to even jump over it if it was like a lowrider. Like, I drive a sporty little Focus. He could probably jump over that. If we were close.
A sporty little Focus. Hold on. I never heard those words in one sentence together. Don't worry. I have a sporty Focus.
Yeah, I do. It's an SVT Focus. It's like a limited edition production car. It's It's got like all sorts of tuning to it. It's like almost 200 horsepower in that little thing.
It comes with a poodle.
It's got it's a 6-speed short shifter. Come on now.
Is it the rally style?
It's not rally style. It's like a step below like what would be a rally.
It's a Beverly Hills 90210 edition.
Jesus. I'm not going to paint myself into a corner on this one, so I'm just going to move on. How does that sound?
I can't talk. I have a Kia Soul, so we'll just move on.
You have one of those hamster cars? You have the gerbil car?
I do.
Oh, man card.
Hi. I am Tyler Gunther, and I'm here for this meeting, and I have a Kia Soul.
Tim, you don't drive a PT Cruiser, do you? Because I will shut my computer off right now.
I drive a V8 Toyota Tundra.
Ah, he's got the big man car.
There you go.
See, my wife has the 2015 Ford Explorer, so that's what we usually drive in. Yeah.
Does she drive you?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't drive anywhere. A, because she's a terrible driver. She drives too slow. And I'm all about doing 80 and just, I'm like Dion Lewis on the highway. I'm just like, boop, 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 boop. I'm moving in and out. I'm weaving. No one's tackling me. Not even the police. They can't catch me. All right. So today we are here to bring you a full breakdown of all the moves in the AFC. And we're gonna go over division by division, team by team, the most thorough breakdown that you're going to hear anywhere on a Dynasty podcast. I'm confident that this is what it's going to be. You don't need to go anywhere else. just download us. Thank you in advance. But first, we do want to cover some of the players that haven't signed, because there are some fantasy relevant players that haven't signed anywhere yet. Isn't there, Tyler?
That is true. But before we get to that, I just want to let everybody know about a friend of mine. His name is Philip Swergel. I have a pinned tweet on my Twitter, and he needs help. He has a osteogenesis imperfecta. It's where he was born with very brittle bones, and when he was born, it didn't allow him to his body to mature in the proper way. So he's been in a wheelchair his whole life, and he's actually a very good comedian. He does stand up in here in Rochester, and he's gone up to cities. He got third place in the Minnesota Comedy Showdown. Nice. So he's a very funny guy, and he bases his jokes around his disability. So he's very, very fun about it. But his van broke down the other day, and this is a very humble guy, a guy that doesn't ask for help. And I actually had to post this behind his back because he didn't want me to.
Well, at least he can't read it when you do that.
Yes, he can. He's on Twitter.
I meant so, literally, like, behind his back. He can't read it.
Oh. But he...
I'm trying to be a... he's a comedian. I'm a comedian. Let's go.
Yes.
Leave the comedy to Flip.
But he just needs any help you can give him. His GoFundMe page is pinned on my Twitter. Anything helps. He's a very, very generous man himself, and he deserves any help you can give, because this is a guy that is a very, very, very unselfish man. So if you guys could help him out, that'd be great. I just wanted to kind of give him a little minute on here to let everybody know his situation. And any helps, I'm very thankful for. And you guys have helped a lot already. And the community, once again, just crazy what it does when you have something like this and you need help. And I would like to say thank you to everybody that it has helped already. So thank you again.
Yeah, if you've ever been without a car, it stinks. And Tyler's offered this guy his rides, but nobody wants to ride in that Kia Soul. So we got to get him another mode of transportation, hook this guy up, get him the help he needs, and get him to where he needs to be.
Yes, and I actually used to work for him. I worked for him for 3 years, and I was friends with him before, but I was actually his... kind of caretaker, and I drove him around, and this van was not good years ago, and I was surprised when he told me that it finally broke down. And yeah, he needed a new van a long time ago, and this is the one thing that helps him feel kind of like a normal person. It gives him the ability to do things that we do, so it means a lot to him.
Sweet. Thank you, Tyler. Very, very good words. You would say you're his Bruce Willis and he is Samuel Jackson?
Yes. He's definitely same, Samuel Jackson.
Yes, it's the same same disease that Samuel Jackson had in the movie Unbreakable, for those that don't know. So to give you a little bit of, you can relate that now a little bit better to exactly
yes,
what he's going through.
I mean, yep. Literally, he could sneeze or roll over and he'd break his arm. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how
It's definitely a scary disease. So thank you, Tyler, for those kind words, and please contribute if you can. Much appreciated on all of our parts. So let's cover some quick free agents that are still available here in the NFL. The list is getting pretty small, but we do want to cover some because we've had some news about some recent visits and some speculation about some of these players. So we're going to start. We're going to start at the running back position. Quarterbacks, pretty much everyone's already signed. Jay Cutler, no one cares. So we'll start with our running back position. We've got a few. A lot of them are kind of old and crusty, but we've got Frank Gore, who visited with the Detroit Lions, didn't sign there. They signed another player in LeGarrette Blount, which we'll talk a little bit more next week when we talk about the NFC. We had DeMarco Murray, who was linked with Miami today. He's on a visit. That would obviously give all the sads to the Kenyon Drake owners, like Tyler. So there's been some news there. He also visited with Detroit because Detroit must have had like a special discount on running backs over 30. At a local restaurant, so they hosted all of them pretty much, with the exception of Darren Sproles, who the market's been quiet for, who might not play again. Alfred Morris is still out there, Orleans Darkwa, Charles Sims, Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls. None of those guys have gotten any action that I've heard of whatsoever. You guys heard anything on those guys?
No, yeah. I can't say I've heard anything on any of those guys.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier about how Eddie Lacy will probably play for the XFL, and then I made the joke of on the back of his jersey, it'll say, "He ate me," instead of "He hate me." So not to fat shame Eddie Lacy, but let's be honest, he's a big boy.
Not to fat shame him, but yes,
I'm overweight, so I'm not fat shaming him. He is one of my kind. So
that
I know
is
what
the rule.
I know what the struggle is like, and it's not easy to overcome. So I wish him the best. He did have some talent. Remember, he was like the number one overall fantasy pick a few years ago in redraft. So,
oh my god,
you know it happened.
Let's not,
it's crazy how fast that stuff changes.
Absolutely, that just goes to show you the running back. The running back position can get crazy. So a wide receiver, we've still got some veterans out there. Starting with Jordan Matthews, who visited with Arizona a couple days ago, but it looks like he left without a deal. Haven't heard anything anything else really from Jordan Matthews, which is a surprise. So I don't know if that injury that he has is more serious, or people are just waiting for a discount, which could be completely possible. I'd like to see him end up like with an Indianapolis Colts or an Oakland Raiders in the slot would be really good. You guys have any thoughts on a landing spot for Jordan Matthews that you'd really enjoy?
My thing with Jordan Matthews is I think that injury, this might show his injury is worse than what we actually made it out to be. I know he was kind of, he's on the fast track and healthy, and he seemed optimistic on social media about it. But this kind of shows you maybe it's not quite as sunshine and rainbows down in Jordan Matthews Island, because the fact that he's having no teams look at him, and I still think he's a talented man.
Same. I just traded for him from you.
That is true. And I only dealt him because of the fact that there's no news. I mean,
trying to buy it at a discount. Let's go.
I mean, the thing about NFL is like, no news is bad news, but in real life, no news is good news. So, I don't know. Like you said, Indy would be a great. Arizona is weird to me because he seems like a younger Larry Fitzgerald.
Unless they're planning for app post Larry.
Yeah, that's true. That would, I mean, if it's only a 1 year deal, then it'd be kind of.
I mean, you could probably get him for a 3 year deal for 15, I would think.
Oh yeah, he'd
like,
be dirt cheap.
It wouldn't take much, and then you know Larry plays one more year. Jordan Matthews takes over for that. He's got Lamar Jackson throwing him the ball. What? I mean, that would be pretty elite, but you know.
When I heard he was going to Arizona, I thought he was going to leave there with a deal. I thought, you know, that they need to bring somebody in can compliment Larry a little bit and can learn from Larry a little bit, because if they like what they see in a Jordan Matthews. Like you guys said, you're going to get him for probably about $5 million a year for 2 to 3 years, and you can figure out pretty quickly if he's going to be the guy you can lean on once Larry decides, you know, okay, it is time to go.
Yep, exactly. So it'd be interesting to see where he eventually ends up. I assume that he'll, unless he's really hurt, I assume he'll sign somewhere, hopefully by the time that we record next week. A couple other wide receivers that have got some visits lined up. Terrell Pryor in Seattle, which is, I think, an interesting fit because they don't have a guy of his size on that roster. You know, they just lost Paul Richardson to Washington. They did sign Jerron Brown. Not a huge Jerron Brown guy, but I think Terrell Pryor, you know, he'd probably sign a one-year deal on the cheap in Seattle, and that would be kind of interesting to see him there. And then Mike Wallace, there's been no action on. Eric Decker, I haven't heard a thing on him either. So it's been kind of quiet on the receiver market. I think we're ready for that stage three of free agency to hit. So we should see some of these guys start to sign pretty soon. And then at tight end, some news, CJ Fedorowicz has officially retired. So you can drop him from your dynasty rosters. Unfortunately, just too many concussions. And, you know, he wants to live a long and fruitful life. So congrats to CJ Fedorowicz for making that decision. I think it's the right one. And then Eric Ebron's been a hot name in the market. He first visited Carolina, which was interesting because that same day there was Greg Olsen was auditioning for Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football, one of the big broadcasts. And, you know, rumor is that he's not going to retire this year, but he is going to be phenomenal in the booth when he does retire. So I'm looking forward to him in his analysis because he is great at the combine. He called one of the games last year while he was hurt and did a really, really nice job. So if you own him in Dynasty, don't panic. If you're win now, keep him this year. But I think after this year, you know, he's owed $9 million this year, so I don't think he goes anywhere. What do you guys think?
No, he ain't going nowhere this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And like you said, at the combine, he was very fun to listen to, just how he'd talk about the tight ends. Like, and he just seems like he's doing it normal. Like, he's just talking amongst others.
Yep.
And he said, that, oh, wow, I like him. Like, Hayden Hurst, I remember his gauntlet.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man. Oh, yeah, I love him. Oh, God.
And he was real about how, you know, he talked about what he did back at his combine versus how he would fare against these. Mm-hmm. Like if he got out there and ran his 40 and he had to run the gauntlet and he had to run these routes, like how he would look versus some of them. I'm sure his routes would probably look a lot better than most of these guys because he's had all these years of playing in the NFL. But he openly admitted like he's not going to keep up with these guys in the 40 and things like that.
Yeah, they're just the athletes now are just so superior. Yeah,
they're freakish.
Yeah, which is crazy. So Eric, back to Eric Ebron. So he's had meetings with New England, I believe, today on Sunday. So it's been quiet here. So that's be interesting to see where that ends up. He would be a great complimentary piece to Gronk and possibly the long-term replacement for Gronk. Because I think Gronk only plays for another year or two, to be completely honest. So I'd be really intrigued if Ebron were to sign there, although the Patriots are getting pretty tight with cap, so that might be an interesting fit. It's going to be, do you want to win or do you want to go to a Baltimore and be the guy? Because that's another hot spot that I think he could do really well in. Ben Watson's a free agent. I think we know that Crockett, Gilmore, and Max Williams aren't going to be things. So Eric Ebron would be an interesting fit there. And last but not least, it has been rumored that he does have a visit with the Colts as well, which would make me sad for all my Eric Swoops that I own. I would be very, very sad. So out of those four spots, guys, New England, Carolina, the Colts, or Baltimore, where would you like to see Ebron land from a dynasty fantasy perspective?
Obviously, for dynasty, it's New England.
Yeah.
That team, that system has shown year in and year out that they can highlight not only one, but in the days of Aaron Hernandez alongside Gronk, they had two very fantasy viable tight ends in that system at one time. So Gronk can, obviously Ebron's not going to block like Gronk can, so Gronk would probably end up playing more of that role as a blocking tight end, the every down tight end. But Ebron could come out there and be a weapon on passing downs or certain plays where he's, you know, the things designed and schemed for him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you want them to be in the best passing offense possible. I mean, I think Indy would be interesting. Of course, we don't know what's going on with Andrew Luck. So I would obviously say New England. And I would, as a New England fan, I would like Eric Ebron on this team. So yeah,
and you've also got to think, like, Jack Doyle's there in Indy. And
they paid Doyle, too.
As much as we like Doyle, he's not an uber athlete. So this would give them another playmaker in the middle of the field. I would love New Orleans, but they seem to be very quiet on the tight end.
I think they're going to draft one.
That's my thing. I think they're going to be in line for a first
Goddard,
a first round, either a Goddard, Hayden Hurst, or even a Gesicki.
That could be interesting to see that
if
happen.
If they fell in love with Gesicki's numbers, that's definitely a possibility. Baltimore for Ebron, I think you got to like the amount of targets he could possibly get down there, but it's a quality versus quantity thing. You're going to get very good targets in New England from, you know, possibly the best quarterback.
A fairly accurate quarterback.
Yes. Where Joe Flacco's thing has always been the deep ball, and even that's starting to slide from him. So,
but he's still elite.
That's never been the case. I don't know how that ever started.
Yeah, I agreed. So before we break open the AFC analysis, Tyler, what are you breaking open over there?
That's a great segue to my buddy's Norseman card breaks. I told you guys about them last week, but this week, last night, I was a part of one, and I was a part of a baseball one, and this is the excitement about it. I had four slots, and I got the Cubbies, I got the Angels, I got the Yankees, which I actually had saved for a friend, and then I had the Oakland A's, which, yes, Oakland A's. But the Oakland A's got me two patch cards. I got, you know, the Ohtani.
Ohtani.
I forgot his name.
I think it's Ohtani.
Yeah, the Ohtani.
The
I got a rookie card of him. I got some Chris Bryant, some Mike Trout cards, some nice cards. And then the New York Yankees got an Aaron Judge signature card, which was the bell of the ball of the
big
night.
Big bucks.
Yep. And it's awesome. Like, yeah, it's a gamble, but man, if you hit, you hit. And you can trade teams in the middle of it, which is awesome. I got offered Angels for the Astros, and I declined it because I wanted that rookie card. And the funny thing is, the Astros had probably the second best card pull, and Alex Bregman, I think his name
is.
Yeah,
Bregman.
Rex
Grossman?
One of the two. No, not Rex Grossman. His youngest brother.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
And he got pulled, and it was a 2 out of 10 rookie card gold. It was amazing, but man, it was a ton of fun. It's tons and tons of suspense. You sit there and you watch them open them and flip, and you're just waiting, and you can see the card that's flipped backwards that you know is a patch or a signature, and then when he flips it, oh man, it's a ton of fun, and I'm hooked. He's going to have a football one coming here soon from last year, 2017, with the rookies of Fournette, Cook, and all that.
Nice.
And then he's got another baseball pull coming up. But in like June, that's when the 2018 rookies will release with their cards. But you guys got to get in this. Go to Facebook, Norseman Cards Breaks, ask to be in this group, and he will accept you. And start getting in these, and you will not regret it. I love it.
Nice. Thank you, Tyler. So let's start in the AFC, and we're going to start in the worst division. Do you guys know what that is?
The AFC East?
Yes, you are correct. The home of the incompetent teams, all except for New England.
Minus one. Yeah.
Minus one. Not to brag, but damn. So we're going to start with the New England Patriots. I'll go through some of their moves, and then I'll have you guys analyze them. How's that sound? So we'll kind of hit a flurry here, and then you guys pick a couple points, and we'll go from there. So the first move that New England made in re-signing players, we all know they lost some players, and we'll get to those later. But the first re-signing that they made was they did sign Rex Burkhead to a 3-year deal, which I was very excited because he is the goat head, and I love Rex. And then just a couple days ago, they signed Jeremy Hill to a 1-year, $1.5 million deal, but only $150,000 guaranteed. So very much a prove-it deal. He might not end up on this team. I think we might see some Hill versus Gillisley debates coming up here. And then today, Cordarrelle Patterson, bro. They switched spots with the Raiders. They gave up a 5th. They got the Raiders 6th. And the Pats bring CPAT, which I was very excited because we originally traded this pick to the Vikings. And I wanted them to take Patterson because I like the speed, the electricity that he brings on the field. And, he's going to be a great special teams player for us. But we're going to start with Tim. Out of these moves, give me some dynasty analysis. I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about Jeremy Hill.
Well, I'm going to start with CPAT. If he's ever going to work, he's going to work on the, he's going to work on the Pats.
Yep.
Jeremy Hill, I think they could be looking at him as a LeGarrette blood type, where he's just going to be the banger, be that short yardage guy. The move that really intrigued me, and this is just a little picture as to how the Pats play this game. They went out and got Rex Burkhead a year ahead of time just for this, just for this point here. Bring him in. If you use him, great. If you don't, you kind of set him on the shelf. He gets used sparingly. And then when Deion Lewis goes or they lose somebody else, they make these decisions that they need to make. Then you go back and you sign Rex Burkhead again. And Rex Burkhead, you mentioned about CPAT on the special teams. Rex Burkhead is also a special teams player.
Yep.
And Bill Belichick likes those Swiss Army knife type guys he can use in different spots, in different positions on the field. And Rex Burkhead can be used in the passing game. He's a decent enough runner, and he can be used on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Belichick's favorite ability is availability. And, mm-hmm. Cordarrelle Patterson, I could see him running the same jet sweeps that Brandon Cooks ran last year, playing special teams, punt, kick return, because you lost that with Deion Lewis. And I don't think they want Edelman to go back there and do punts. Amendola's gone, so there's another punt returner. So they really had a need there. I was hoping that maybe in the draft they'll draft a guy like Dante Pettis, which would make me all the happies, but we'll see. And then Jeremy Hill, so the biggest thing that the Patriots struggled in the run game last year was short yardage. So if you watched any Pats games like I do, Gillisley, I like Mike Gillisley still, so don't get it twisted, but Gillisley did struggle in short yardage, picking up 4th-and-1s and at the goal line. So I think that Jeremy Hill was brought in to really establish that role. I think he makes this team, and I think that'll be the foursome along with James White that you're going to see. And they might draft a rookie running back too, but I think it's lower on their chart. So, Tyler, any chime-ins that you want to do on New England here?
No. Going to Cordarrelle Patterson, that'd probably be my only take, is Vikings fans know the pain and suffering we dealt with Cordarrelle Patterson and how he turned down Randy Moss and Chris Carter's help during the offseason.
A la Laquan Treadwell.
Yes, just straight up declined the help and said, no, I'm not going to even bother. I'm going to go work out on my own. And what he did, He worked
no
on,
Hall of Famers. I'm all right. I got this.
Yeah, I'm Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm somebody.
And instead of working on route running, you know what he worked on? He worked on being fast and athletic, which you already are. So why even bother with that and work on route running, which is what Moss and Carter wanted to work on with him. Mm-hmm. And so maybe Belichick can get the best out of him, and this could be a last chance buy low opportunity on him, which, I mean, what, he's 27?
Yeah, he's
right
like 27 or 28, yeah.
So this is it. I mean, if you are buying Cordarrelle Patterson, you are giving a fourth or you're getting him off free agency, and this is it. I mean, if he doesn't do it with New England, which is the team that he needs to be because, you know, they only accept excellence, then it's done. It's over. This Patterson thing that, you know, the second round startup pick back when he after his rookie year, that's gone.
This also tells me that Philip Dorsett's spot on the roster might not be very secure. I think they can cut him without too much of a cap penalty, and they're going to need to make some moves here in the cap if they want to sign players like an Eric Ebron that we talked about earlier. So let's move on to Buffalo. Not a lot going on there. We got A.J. McCarron signed a 2-year deal, and then you got Chris Ivory signed a 2-year deal as well. Before free agency started, he was a veteran that was released. They signed him for 2 years and $5.5 million, which was a very surprising number to me because he's Chris Ivory, and I think there was other options out there that you probably could have gotten less expensive. I mean, look at some of the guys that we just talked about that are still available. Chris Ivory, he's not a bad player. I think I would only roster him if I owned LeSean McCoy or in a best ball league. You guys have any thoughts on A.J. McCarron? I don't think he's going to be the starter there. Buffalo did trade up with Cincinnati. They went from the 21st pick up to the 12th. And we'll talk a little bit in the next section about the race that's going on here at the top of the draft. But any quick analysis on the A.J. McCarron or Chris Ivory moves, Tyler?
The thing with McCarron is it feels like a Tom Savage type move to where it's going to be half a game to a game. They're going to realize like, ugh.
Oh, man, did we mess up?
Maybe we shouldn't have even signed this guy. I mean, they could have given him a $20 gift certificate and be like, God, we overpaid.
Here's a $25 gift certificate for Duff's Wings in Buffalo. Thanks for visiting.
Yeah. I mean, in Superflex, if you have McCarron, you're selling him for anything he can get.
Immediately.
Yeah. I mean, you should have done it right when he signed and be like, this guy is it.
Yeah.
He should have done it before free agency when his name was kind of buzzy.
That is true. But yeah, he's a guy that is in Mike Glennon territory, kind of where if you get anything.
Minus the money.
Yeah, if he gets anything. It's funny we talk about Glennon and Bradford, and you talk about the neck and the knees.
Knee neck. Yeah.
This is the reason the Pats will continue to win this division for the next 20 years. These other three teams make these moves, and you're like, how does this help? How did you get better?
So, speaking of which, so we'll go over the Jets next because they made a move to get up to the top of the draft. So they went from the 1-6 to the 1-3. So they traded the 1-6, a second round pick, 2 second round picks this year, and a second round pick in 2019 to move up three spots to pretty much secure themselves a quarterback. Now, we don't know which quarterback that's going to be. I know. I just can't. I wish the draft was still in New York because if they were to be like, with the third pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select Josh Allen, it would be boo.
Oh, my God.
Boo. The place, they might even set the damn place on fire. Although you'd have some Jets fans that are like, yeah,
music halls
he's got
flames.
A big arm. Let's do it. So it's going to be interesting. The Jets trading just a ton of draft capital to move up three spots. Now, Buffalo moved up to the 12.
They got to get to 2. I think they have
That's
to get
exactly
to 2.
Why the Jets did this. They're blocking.
Because the Giants are going to take a quarterback. They have to, right?
Yeah. I thought that the Bills were going to try to trade to 5 to get in front of the Jets. The Jets saw it coming and said, screw it, we're going to get to 3. If you want to get in front of us to get the quarterback you want, you're really going to have to pay. Because they just set the market, too.
They moved
up 3 spots and gave away all the capital.
Up.
The Bills are going to have to pay through the nose to get to 2.
Now,
yeah,
the Dolphins
the
could
Giants
pay through their nose if they still had that assistant coach, right?
Jeez, that's a good one.
But no, my guess is both the Jets and the Bills love Rosen. I think Rosen is the riser, that we don't know about, because you hear about the meetings.
He's a high riser.
You just hear about the meetings, and you hear about how his attitude is just it. That whole entire false interpretation about him and his attitude has kind of come up and been like, no, that's not him. He's a very passionate guy. And I honestly think it's going to go Darnold. And I think the Giants might go Baker or Rosen. I think Baker is going to go 2 or 3. And then, you know, somebody's going to get stuck with Allen.
Someone's going to be holding the bag with Allen and be like, Denver probably, right?
I think Barkley goes to 5 or 6 now.
Or Tampa at 7.
Oh my god. That's everybody's dream.
That would be dope.
And then you got Quentin Nelson, who might go to Denver or Indy. I think Indy might have made the move to actually get Quentin Nelson.
Bradley Chubb.
I would rather see Nelson in Indy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So, yeah, a lot of speculation there. It's going to be a very wild top of the draft. It should be very, very fun to watch. I know there's going to be multiple mediums that you can watch while the draft is going on if you're a Dynasty fan, and we'll plug some of those once we get them sorted out. But so the Jets did make some signings, guys. They signed 2 quarterbacks. They signed Josh McCown to a 1-year, $10 million deal, and then they signed Teddy Two Gloves, Tyler's boy.
They just signed him.
Yeah, 1 year, up to $15 million. Whew. But yeah, they told McCown he's going to be the starter.
That's the thing about the Teddy contract is he didn't sign it until about 4 hours ago. And we're recording this on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was literally 4 hours ago he passed his physical and signed it. So people were wondering the fact that they trade up, maybe they'll pull the contract and he would still be a free agent, which would be nuts.
They pull a Ryan Grant on him?
Yeah. And, yep, but that's not kind of in the cards now because he did sign.
That's good.
And, yeah, that's a hefty price for Teddy. I thought he'd be more on the 8.
I think it's going to be pretty incentive laden. Obviously, they told McCown he's going to be the starter, and I think that they'll probably stick with that. We'll see if McCown, who does have a long list of injuries in his career, he doesn't seem to be able to finish a season. So then you got Teddy to back him up. Whatever rookie they got to be is going to be the third string guy. I don't think they intend to play him whatsoever in year one unless they absolutely have to. So I think that's kind of going to be the kind of chain of command that you see with the Jets quarterback position. They did sign one other skill position player, guy that I've never been a huge fan of. It's Isaiah Crowell. I probably spelled Isaiah wrong on my sheet. Let me check. Yep. But they did sign him for 3 years. They gave him pretty decent money. They still have Elijah McGuire there. They still have Bilal Powell for the time being. I'm not a huge fan of this signing, but it does seem like a Jet signing because anything that looks like Kyrie Robinson and Chris Ivory seems to fit their backfield, and Isaiah Crowell looks the part, so hell, might as well sign him to a few years, right? Tim, any thoughts on the Crow flying his way to MetLife Stadium?
No, I think personally my favorite running back there is Elijah McGuire. I think maybe the Jets are just trying to assemble as many biblical-named running backs as they possibly can between Elijah and Isaiah.
Bilal's not in the Bible?
They're going for the all-Amish team at running back.
Ezekiel. They need to get Ezekiel Elliott next, right?
Yeah, they need an Ezekiel. God,
that'd be nuts.
Yeah. Then they trade to the Raiders and get Elijah Moses Hood to go with Elijah McGuire. All the Elijah. Yeah. Elijah Penny gets on the team. Like, give me all the Elijahs.
You know, if they can't run, they've got some chairs and tables that they can go off and sell.
Very nice. Amish furniture made of the finest materials.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
It is so
and
sturdy.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's so heavy.
It's good stuff.
So all expensive. Right.
I need an elephant that to too. Pull out back and carry this for me.
They probably have one. Instead of, like, tractor trailers, they just use elephants to haul stuff.
Well, horses, but...
Horse and buggy.
Close.
Clydesdales?
Close stuff.
They have Clydesdales?
No, just regular, like,
farm
horses.
I know they
horses.
Don't have Clydesdales. Those are reserved for Budweiser only. I think we know this.
There's only 6 of them in the world.
That's right, and they're all in the Budweiser commercials, which there wasn't one this year with the Clydesdales in it for the first time in, like, forever. Fun fact. So let's move on to Miami, my least favorite team here in the NFC East.
In the NFL, you mean? You said NFL wrong.
Sure. So first move, they cut Julius Thomas, which freed up a bunch of cap. They've made some weird trades with some defensive players. They signed Danny Amendola to a 2-year, $12 million deal. And I love Amendola because he is the best postseason wide receiver in Patriots history. And to see him go on this deal, I completely understand why the Patriots were like, good luck, Danny. Like, see you later. Yeah. 2 for 12 is way beyond their scope.
Way to cash in.
Considering that he's taken a pay cut for 3 straight years here. And then they signed Albert Wilson to a 3-year, $24 million deal. Bird Alert got $8 million a year? Tyler, does this mean he's going to be the guy? This is the guy money, right?
I was so happy when this happened. I was pumped. I think I even messaged Doug. And I'm like, this is why I didn't want to add him in the trade. Because
I know.
And I'm like, yes. And then Amendola happened. I'm like, you know what, God? Just one. Give me one. That's all I ask. Come on. But, yeah, I mean, this is a sticky situation now. And
I want no part of it.
The whole Dolphins, like Devontae Parker, I gave up on a year ago. Meh. And with Albert Wilson, you just got to hope that Amendola, you know, at 20% when he gets hit, that first hit on the field, and his health bar goes to 20%.
Yeah.
You just got to hope maybe somebody in Mortal Kombat finishes him.
Yes.
And then
he's out for the year. Combo breaker.
And then Albert Wilson comes in and he's the guy. Because if there was one guy, it'd be awesome. But I mean, I don't know if Miami's like, hey, we could take these two and just push them close and close together and then fuse them. It would be Jarvis, right? I mean, we're paying him as much as we should have paid Jarvis.
Right,
but,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately for Leonte Carew, as soon as they got rid of Landry, I was like, oh, it's Carew time. And then I got screwed because they signed two receivers. I was like, you know, really? What are we doing here, Miami? You
they
traded
hate
up
him.
For this guy. They hate him. Just trade him for a 7th-round pick, and hopefully he catches on somewhere, because my dynasty shares of Leonte Carew are getting impatient, folks.
It's getting to the expiration date. I mean, it's the food in the back of the fridge.
It's like now you open the milk, and you're like, all right, it expired 2 days ago, and then you smell it, and you're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do I want to drink from it? Do I not want to drink from it? That's Leonte Carew's dynasty situation right now. It's just bad. So let's move on to the AFC North. Not a ton of news in the North, so we'll kind of go through them a little bit quicker here. Pittsburgh hasn't done anything on the offensive side of the ball except for franchise tag one of the best running backs in the league, and Le'Veon Bell. He says he's going to play, no holdouts or any of that jazz this year. We'll see. He seems to be flip-flopping quite a bit lately. But Le'Veon Bell is in Pittsburgh for at least one more year, making $14 million as the highest-paid running back in the league. So congrats to him. Moving on to Cincinnati, they did have a big re-signing. We haven't seen too many free agents re-sign with their original clubs, but Tyler Eifert is back on a one-year deal. He's kind of in the same class as Jordan Reed. Love the talent, but God damn it, they cannot stay on the field. So,
P.S., don't say Eifert and back in the same sentence.
Yeah, because you could go broke very quickly. I'm not really investing anything into. If I already had him on my roster, to me, he's a hold. I don't think he has any value. You have to kind of see what's going to happen.
He's a back of the roster type player.
But this sucks for Tyler Croft, who I had in some leagues as a tight end premium, kind of a deeper guy. So Tyler Croft now kind of the second guy in line. It's the story of the two Tylers in Cincinnati.
It related to Laura Croft, by the way.
I saw the new Tomb Raider movie. I give it a 7 out of 10. It wasn't bad. She's better.
And that's been movie talk here on the Dynasty.
Yeah.
Yes.
I only want to talk Avengers if we're going to talk anything.
Can I give you a hot take? Alicia Vikander was better eye candy than Angelina Jolie.
That's
a hot take,
surprising.
I think, in some circles. So anyway.
Yeah, some circles.
The other move that Cincinnati made, we did talk about the trade where they did add left tackle Cordy Glenn and move down
it.
Here in the draft. So Joe Mixon, this is good news, right? They're going to draft some offensive linemen in this draft, are they not? They have to, right?
The thing is, Cordy Glenn's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Very well-known tackle, very well-known for injuries. I mean, he is the Sam Bradford of left tackles. So hopefully he can stay healthy. And, you know, like we talked about the Vikings when they drafted Pat Elflein and they were able to kind of push their other center into guard, it gives the Cincinnati Bengals.
They pushed him down the Elflein, if you will?
Yes. It gives the Bengals an opportunity to kind of chess piece their offensive line because they do have first-round talent on that line. It's just I think they were in the wrong spots. Mm-hmm. So this could be a Viking situation to where the offensive line was terrible 1 year, and then the next year it's you know, it's good.
It's competent at least.
It's competent, and it could be way better than we think. Like Vikings offensive line, the more they gelled, the better they got.
Yep.
And we're like, wow, like they're one of the middle to upper offensive lines now. So
yeah, and I think this is definitely good news for the Joe Mixon owners out there. And he's a buy low for me in the offseason, and this kind of increased his value just a little bit with the positive news of them adding some linemen into the fold. So let's move on to Baltimore, who's had a crazy week. Danny Woodhead is officially retired. So a great gritty 10 years of Danny Woodhead out of tiny Chadron State University. So I loved watching Danny Woodhead as a Pats fan, and I always followed his career because he was a fun player to watch, but just injuries caught up with him at the end.
Some gym just lost an amazing membership.
or they're gaining an amazing employee because that's where he's going to be working.
You know, the guy that wears the way too tight a shirt? That is totally Danny Woodhead.
He's like that small guy that you're like, I could kick his ass, and then he just kicks your ass. That's Danny Woodhead.
What size shirt is he wearing? Is that a... That's not even an extra small.
I looked. Was that from Transformers?
Yeah. Yeah. Where'd you guys go? Find a smaller shirt? No. We already looked.
So Danny Woodhead retired. They also released Jeremy Maclin. So he's another veteran receiver that's on the market where there's been no news about. They did originally sign Ryan Grant to a 4-year, $29 million deal. And then everyone was like, boo hiss. This is an awful deal. And then somehow failed his physical. But then a couple days later,
something happened.
Passed his physical with Indianapolis when he visited them. So was it a coincidence that Michael Crabtree got cut from the Raiders, is what you're saying?
Do you think they signed Ryan Grant and they're like, all right, so, and then they looked up like, oh my God, this is the wrong guy. Crap.
Well, they took it. It's like a fantasy player taking their trade to Twitter. Like, you know, like side A, side B, they put the Twitter poll up.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the opposite side. You're like, oh my God, how can I take that back? Well, in this case, they get to, you know,
that's what they go back to the league.
Oops.
Yeah, they go back to the league and they're like, yeah, you know, I didn't mean to hit accept. I went on my email and I accidentally hit the accept and I meant to counter. So can we revert this trade?
Yeah, it was a pretty bad.
You're in a draft and you draft the other David Johnson, not the running back.
Yeah, the tight end from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Akeem Hunt instead of Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Those are all the tricky ones. But yeah, it was definitely a wild week for Ryan Grant, and I feel bad for them. I hope that he finds a spot and he balls out, because this is just a really bad look for the Baltimore Ravens organization, and I feel bad for Ryan Grant, honestly.
Can I go to one more?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Adrian Peterson on
the Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yep.
I had the first overall pick in the league 1 year and at redraft. And I had him clicked and I almost hit draft. And I was like, and then I looked and I saw the CHI. I'm like, oh God, oh God.
That
would have
been such a Tyler move for that to happen.
That was the first time I think I pooped myself a little.
He would have been like, no, I swear to God, no.
Pause the draft.
I think my ADD medicine kind of helped me out there, because if I didn't take that, I mean, it would have been full draft.
Would have been screwed.
Just draft him, walk away, I'm done.
Yeah, so let's move on here. They did sign a couple of wide receivers. The aforementioned Michael Crabtree to a 3-year, $21 million deal, so he got some pretty decent money. And they did sign one of my dynasty crushes in John Brown, 1 year, $5 million with a chance to make a little bit more in incentives. So, Tim, what do you think about the Crabtree and Brown moves in a Baltimore receiving core that is, I would say, slightly revamped over last year?
I would say it is much revamped over last year. I think it's a good veteran signing, the Crabtree signing. I think he's a guy that Joe Flacco can rely on. I think Brown is going to be a speedster for him, and we know that Joe likes to throw the deep ball. I know his deep ball hasn't been what it used to be these past couple years, but I think those two especially are going to complement each other well. Now, if they can just keep some tight ends on the field or go find themselves a tight end, you know, you made a comment about Max Williams earlier. Mm-hmm. I still have just a little slimmer of hope that maybe that Minnesota product can turn out to be something there for him as a tight end.
I just have three words for you guys. That's so Raven.
Oh, Jesus. That joke was making me Simone.
I was just thinking, I'm like, God, this is such a Raven thing to do. I'm like, that's so Raven.
That's so Raven. Oh, man. All right, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. We talked a little bit about last week with the Landry, Tyrod, Kizer situation, so we're not going to focus too much on that this week. So if you missed that, go and download last week's episode. Please and thank you in advance. So they did make one big fantasy signing, and it was Carlos Hyde, 3 years, $15 million. But the way it's structured, it's pretty much a one-year deal, and then it's kind of pay-for-play afterwards. So, Tim, to you, does the signing of Carlos Hyde and having Duke Johnson on the roster mean that the Cleveland Browns might be out on the Saquon Barkley sweepstakes? Well, I wouldn't really call them sweepstakes, but you know what I mean.
I don't think that Carlos Hyde's going to keep you from possibly going and getting the most hyped running back
in the history of man
in you know, years and years since possibly, you know, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, the last like two super hyped running back prospects. So if he's there at four, I think Cleveland still takes Saquon there. But I think these two complement each other well. I think Carlos Hyde is a early downs running back, and Duke Johnson can be the PPR type. I think there was a lot of dynasty owners out there hoping that for some reason the Browns just wouldn't sign or draft a running back of any sort of name value, and that Duke Johnson will finally get his shine. But, you know, obviously Duke's injury history, you have to be concerned with that for Cleveland.
Yep.
But, yeah, I like Carlos Hyde. I don't know if I like him in Cleveland that much, but I think as of right now, the way this depth chart looks, he's their guy. I like that.
Yeah, it should be a fun offense to watch with all these pieces in place next year. And obviously, if they do add a Saquon Barkley, then that will be even more funner, to put it that way. They did make one other signing, a blocking tight end in Darren Fells. Got $4 million a year, so good for Darren Fells. Very nice.
Yeah, for a blocking tight end, that's good money.
Yeah, that's not too bad. It shouldn't cut into David Njoku's workload at all, is what I'm saying. And if he does, then I'm going to punch myself repeatedly in the testicle area.
My favorite thing was on Twitter, David Njoku, when I think he quote tweeted somebody that said the Browns are looking to add a second tight end. And Njoku just did the hands in the air type thing and said, come on.
I did see
so
that.
So I think the thing is when Darren Fells signed, he's probably like, oh, okay. That's
yeah,
what
yeah, we good, we good. Oh,
that kind of tight end. Got it.
Yep. Not the pass catching variety. So let's move on to the AFC South, and we're going to start with the AFC South champs. The Jacksonville Jaguars made a big signing, and Tyler, this is your boy, so I'm going to have you jump right into it. But Dante Moncrief, a one-year, $10 million deal. He got paid. Looking good. They also re-signed Marquise Lee, 4 years for $38. And they made a couple different tight end signings. Niles Paul, probably not fantasy relevant, although I do like his game a little bit. And then Austin Seferian-Jenkins for 2 years and $10 million. So, Tyler, give me some analysis on these pass catchers here in Jacksonville, starting with your boy, the Creef.
So, with Moncrief, I think it's going to be a prove-it type year, of course, but the $10 million makes me come to realize that he is the starter next to, okay, do you think it's going to be Dede or Keelan Cole on the other side?
I would have to say Keelan Cole looked like the better player last year.
That is my guess, as Dede will be the replacement for whoever is out, gets hurt.
Allen Hurns.
Allen Hurns. But, you know, you got Marquise Lee in the slot. They paid him. I mean, they gave him some good money. And Moncrief is going to be kind of that Allen Robinson, you know, deep pass, go up and get it. And I like that because that is Moncrief's game. You watch Moncrief's rookie year, and he blew up at the end of the year. I mean, there was times when he had 3 for 101. That's what he needs to be. He's a big deep threat. He's a 4-4 type guy at 6'2", 220, a guy with tremendous hops. He is a poor man's Allen Robinson when healthy, and I'm back to it. I mean, Moncrief, you've hurt me, but when you text me in the middle of the night and you're like, hey,
he's like, you
why
up?
Don't you come back? Yeah, why don't you come back? And I'm like, I've always been here. So
very nice.
I think with Moncrief, it's a buy low opportunity because I don't think anybody has faith with him in Jacksonville and the Bortles. So this could be an opportunity to have a guy in your team that you could slide in on bye weeks or even fall in and start. Because, yeah. I mean, they just signed the best guard in the free agency. And Blake Bortles, despite our hatred for him, when he has time, he is a good passer. It's when he gets pressured, is when he's bad. Shocker, Josh Allen's the same way. But, I mean, the thing is Bortles is a good quarterback when he has a pocket and he can push up in the pocket. So I'm very optimistic about Bortles and Moncrief connecting.
I think my biggest concern would just be around volume, because I think that they're still going to want to run the football with Fournette a ton. Looks like, yeah, Corey Grant's going to be back on the team. They did a second round tender for him. TJ Yeldon's still there. They added Norwell for left guard. So I think they're still going to want to run the football. Right, that would be my only concern with Moncrief, is just from a volume perspective. Obviously, he's getting paid like a wide receiver one, but I don't think he's going to see your stereotypical wide receiver one type of volume. Tim, do you have any concerns in that regard as well, or you feel
I'll
pretty
just say
wheels
this
up for him?
This is a sneaky good pass catching core now.
Yeah,
I like what they're doing. They're attempting to solidify this offense a little bit more, including the offensive lineman signing, to help out that defense, which was playing lights out last year. Yeah, I like what the Jacksonville's doing.
Yeah, I like the signing of Safarian Jenkins, not necessarily from a fantasy perspective, because, again, there's going to be just a lot of targets there, but I like the real-life NFL signing of Austin Safarian Jenkins.
Two big men at tight end. You got Mercedes Lewis and ASJ, who are monsters. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be where the red zone touchdowns come from. And you put those two in the same formation, oh my God, who the heck are you going to cover? Because ASJ, from all I hear, is still, you know, doing well in his sobriety, which is awesome. Good for him. I think he's 400 days. And apparently he looks even more rocked up than what he did before. That's scary. I mean, you're not going to get much yardage, I don't think. But
so with all these weapons around Bortles, is Bortles a sneaky buy right now?
Yes, I think so. And my favorite signing is...
Tim just threw up in his mouth. I saw it.
Yeah.
My favorite... Is there peas in there? I'm not cleaning it up.
All no the peas. Meat is in his belly still, thankfully.
Okay. That's a true man. But no, my favorite signing is Norwal.
Yeah.
Because
Narwhal?
Isn't
that like a seal with a unicorn horn?
Yeah, it's like a unicorn
It's seal. A whale with a unicorn horn? A narwhal?
So it's like the singer seal, because... I mean, he is the unicorn.
He was kissed from a rose on the face, if I believe, if that's correct.
Man.
So, all right, we're falling
greatest
down.
Greatest singer of our generation.
And a great cameo in the pop star movie, if you haven't seen it, with Andy Samberg. The seal cameo in that is rock solid as well. So make sure you check that out. It's probably streaming for free on Crackle at this point. So let's move on to a couple of teams that haven't done too much in the offseason. The Colts have done zero moves from a skill set position. So that's looking good for Marlon Mack, I think, for the time being.
Yes.
And who's the third receiver on the Colts depth chart? It's some guy I've never heard of. I know there's Chester Rogers, T.Y. Hilton, not necessarily in that order, mind you. There's like a third guy. It's probably like some white slot guy, Austin Colley's cousin or something.
So that's this there. This is where on Elliot Crist episode, when we talked about ESB, we both said Indy with ESB would be fantastic in the early second round.
So you've got ESP on ESB?
My God. If he lands with the Colts and Andrew Luck is healthy...
That would be pretty sweet.
Give me all of that. I'll take
it. Hey, they have enough second round picks now.
Oh my God. ESB, if he goes to the Colts, he is going to be like 8 for me. I'm taking him at 8.
Tyler, all in. He's pushing the chips. I can hear them moving at this moment.
I'm pushing something else right now.
Oh, Jesus. So the Colts haven't done much on the offensive side of the ball, so it's been status quo there. Texans signed Bruce Ellington to a one-year deal, so he'll kind of be their slot guy, who I like when he's healthy, but he's never healthy, so I'm not investing really much in Bruce Ellington. They've been quiet, been adding a lot to their defense. They did sign the Honey Badger for a one-year $7 million deal, so if you play IDP,
love it.
That's a pretty dope signing. So I like that quite a bit. Last but not least, in the AFC South, probably one of the most heated discussions we've seen on Twitter in the past week, Deion Lewis signed a 4-year, $20 million deal with a chance to make 3 more with the Tennessee Titans, who previously cut to Marco Murray. So it is now a Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry backfield. So I'm going to ask Tim first. Who's the main ball carrier here, Tim? Is it Deion or is it Derrick?
It's Derek. Derek has been the good soldier. He sat behind DeMarco, let him kind of lead the way, came in, gave DeMarco that breather, or came in when DeMarco was hurt, and really performed well. So I think it's going to be Derek Henry going forward. DeMarco, or I'm sorry, Deion Lewis is going to be the pass catching back. He could be a guy they put out in the slot. He could be a guy they put out on special teams. But I think this is DeMarco. I'm not DeMarco. I'm getting them all mixed up. This is Derrick Henry's backfield now.
It sounds like there's doubt. I mean, the fact that you said DeMarco.
I got Deion, you know, DeMarco.
There's a lot of D's there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like DeMarco PTSD for Tennessee or for Derrick Henry fans. Like, see, oh God.
Tyler, who do you got? You got Derrick Henry or Deion Lewis leading the way for Tennessee?
I'm going Deion Lewis.
I'm in the same boat as you. They don't pay him as a top 10 back, not to.
And the thing, do you guys think Derrick Henry is the new Lamar Miller?
Ooh.
The guy that is like...
No, because he can be a bell cow if they needed him to be.
But okay. Nobody's allowing him to.
I won't disagree.
That's the problem. Once Lamar got the opportunity to be a bell cow, he
didn't do shit with
average.
It.
But
he was
that
okay.
That was after 4 years of not being the guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, earlier Lamar Miller, is Derrick Henry that guy? Like, I'm not talking player comparisons, but I'm talking
Derrick's
situation.
Gonna get a shot this year.
I hope so, because I'd love to see a man like that get like 250, but I honestly don't know if he's going to.
I think the thing with Deion Lewis, so one of the things that, you know, I've talked about before is that he was supposedly complaining about his playing time and things like that and how they used him and wanting to play more. So why would he go to Tennessee if that was the case? Now, it could just be about money. Like, he's bounced around the league. He's never really gotten big money. You know, he signed an extension with New England for moderate money. But so this is his chance to cash in. He's 27, 28 years old. This will be his last deal in the NFL, most likely, to cash in. So it's interesting to me. I think that Deion Lewis, I think they'll use both of them enough that they'll both be fantasy relevant, but I think this hurts Derrick Henry's stock a little bit more. I own Deion Lewis in one league and Derrick Henry in another. And, you know, previously to this, when they cut DeMarco, you could sell Derrick Henry and get a pretty penny back in return. And now that's not necessarily the case. Deion Lewis, I don't think his fantasy value has really been affected that much going from New England to Tennessee, in my opinion. I think that, if anything, it may be improved because, you know, he might be in line for a heavier usage and you don't have to play the gambling game with three other different backs in the New England backfield. So I like investing in Deion Lewis if you can get him on the cheap, because someone might be like, well, he's not going to play because of Derrick Henry. I like that move. And then if you believe in Derrick Henry, then go buy him low, because I think you can do that too. So it really just depends on what side of the ball that you land on to make the offers out there and see who you can get at a perceived value. You know, it just really depends on what you think is going to happen. So it's an interesting situation, that's for sure. And definitely one of the things that's going to cloud the water here a little bit for fantasy football in 2018. So let's move on to our last division of the night. That is the AFC West. We're going to start with a team that hasn't done absolutely anything, and that's San Diego. They haven't done anything. They signed Virgil Green as a blocking tight end. See you later, Antonio Gates.
Yep, and they're talking to Pouncey from Miami, who Miami let go stupidly.
And if they got Forrest Lamp back, that line could be good.
Yes. And it could allow an average player like Melvin Gordon to do better, maybe.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah. Melvin Gordon? Is that what we're saying?
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
I mean, anybody that gets that much volume is worth a shot. I honestly, every time I've owned him, I've traded him. That's how much I just...
I've never owned him in Dynasty. I've owned him in Redraft a bunch, and he's always done really well for me. So I got nothing against you, Melvin.
Work on
leg day, because your legs are kind of skinny.
Oh my God, Teddy Bridgewater legs.
Nothing. No one has skinnier legs. If you watch Florida State and watch Blackman at quarterback, pull up a YouTube clip. That boy has matchsticks for legs. They're bad. So let's move on to another team that's only really had one signing, and that's Denver. They signed their bridge quarterback for the next couple of years in Case Keenum, who comes over
now,
from Minnesota.
Is he a bridge?
Their guy.
Yeah, two years, $36 million, a very Mike Glennon-esque type of deal here, if you ask me. But I think Case Keenum is a far superior player to Mike Glennon because he can actually win games in the NFL. So I think that they still pick a quarterback at 5. Case Keenum is the guy this year, and whoever they pick at 5, Josh Allen, ends up riding the pine here for year one.
I don't think so.
No?
Kelly.
I don't think so. I don't think they take
a
quarterback.
And the wind whispered, Chad.
I think that they go guard in Nelson, or they go Barkley, and they ride with Case Keenum. Because
Denver
I think Case
taking
Keenum,
Barkley? That would be interesting.
I think Case Keenum is a far better quarterback than what people give him credit for. And I know I'm up here in Minnesota, and he did very well for us.
Oh,
and I might
know?
Be, and I might have a little bit more swayed on Keenum's side. But honestly, like, he's always had upside. With Houston, he was a very good quarterback. With when he was
he
with
was,
Houston,
he was average.
Well, I meant Houston College.
Oh, not Houston Texans. Okay.
He was.
He had to be more specific on that.
Yes. And even with Houston NFL.
Well, he was an air raid offense, and that's Timmy Chang. He was a good college quarterback.
And I think with Keenum.
Colt Brennan.
I think with Keenum and those weapons.
Pat Mahomes.
Including Carlos Henderson and Jake Butt.
Cliff Kingsbury.
I think that Keenum will have a good year, and I think he's a good buy for Superflex, and I do think he's going to play those full 2 years. And he might have an opportunity to be an Alex Smith-type player in the next 6 years. I think he could play till he's 35, 36.
I got offered Case Keenum and Pigs 2 for a 2019 first, second, and like a fourth. And I seriously thought about it because I have Tyrod Taylor and I have Kirk Cousins, and really my only two quarterbacks in the roster. I just couldn't pull the trigger on it. And I know quarterbacks are so expensive in those types of leagues, but I don't know. I didn't have the same confidence at Tyler Remotes. So
I love me some Keenum.
You do love me some Keenum. So Denver has been quiet other than the Case Keenum signing. And then we've got, let's go to Oakland because they released Michael Crabtree. They've made a couple 2010 fantasy relevant signings here. First, they signed Doug Martin to a 1 year deal. I don't know the exact financials behind it. And then I know Marshawn Lynch got a $1 million roster bonus today. So it looks like he's not going anywhere. So all of a sudden, this becomes a very, very muddy backfield with Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, and Elijah Hood. What? So I'm not sure what to think about the muscle hamster there. But their big signing, which to me was a bit of a head-scratcher, they cut Michael Crabtree, and then they signed Jordy Nelson, who was rumored to go to the Saints. He said he was interested in the Patriots, the Seattle Seahawks. They gave him a 2-year, $15 million deal with 13 guaranteed for a 33-year-old wow. wide receiver. I like the opportunity from a fantasy perspective, but a real-life football signing, both of these guys, I don't know what they're doing. Tim, let's just talk fantasy perspective here. Does Doug Martin have anything? Does he have anything left on the wheels in the hamster cage? And what do you think of Jordy Nelson? Does he have anything left?
I'll start with Jordy. I don't think Jordy has much left. And before we started recording, you mentioned Derek Carr is not known for his tight window accuracy. Mm-hmm. And that's all that Jordy's going to give you anymore. So I don't like the Jordy signing. I don't like the money they signed him for. This one kind of baffled me. When Jordy got released by the Packers, I thought for sure that this is, you know, just a Patriots move. They're going to go out and get this guy, and that's the type of guy not for that money at all. But that's the type of guy that I'm like, Brady's going to allow him to just eat. And then he goes to the Raiders, and I'm like, that makes zero sense to me, but okay. And then you outlined it. You named five running backs that, I mean, Marshawn was
you combine okay. them to get you combine those five running backs together and they make Isaiah Crowell.
I don't know what they're doing with the running back position in Oakland right now.
Here's what Gruden's doing. He's all this talk about no analytics, no nothing, old school football.
The guys that he's and watching he's the Monday doing. Night Football booth. He's like, you know what? I remember calling a game and Jordy Nelson, man, the mind meld he had with Aaron Rodgers. Whew, I want that on my team. He's going to work with Derek Carr. Man, they'll be driving for touchdowns all season long.
Yep. So my thinking is when he says old school football, he means old school football.
James Harrison will be their next signing.
And my next idea is maybe he popped in Madden 2011 and he just flipped on the draft.
Ratings.
Just mixed them all up. And did just a fantasy draft, and he's like, all right, I'll go Jordy, Doug.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, the Raiders are trying to play like the Raiders he had. And, like, I put on Twitter, I heard John Gruden is resurrecting Walter Payton, and he's going to sign him the 2-year deal with $20 million guaranteed.
See, I think he would be like, let me get Napoleon Kaufman on this team.
Rich Gannon is coming back.
Someone said Charlie Garner, which was a good one because he was actually pretty
Mike
good
Allstott
for them in that
at?
Offense.
Mike Allstott. God, I would love to see him play again.
Zach Crockett will be his fullback.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had faith. And I mean, Amari Cooper, please be better.
He's like, going to have to be.
I hope he doesn't die on this team like every other player on this team's going to. It is going to happen because they're 85 years old.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see the Raiders draft an outside receiver and then bump Jordy and have him kind of split between the slot and the outside.
I think he's going to play the slot. I don't see Jordy playing outside.
Yeah, I think it'll be some tough sledding, especially in the NFC West or the AFC West rather, where you've got, you know, Hayward, you've still got Chris Harris, you've got
some cornerbacks.
You know,
That's literally it, Doug. They've actually let go of a lot of corners.
I know, Talib's gone.
In that division.
Yeah, that's what it is. But anyway,
Marcus Peters is gone.
Well, Peters—he's not much of a coverage guy. Let's be honest; he's a playmaker.
Yeah,
but I digress. So let's go to the last team on the list with the biggest, splashiest signing here in free agency:
Kansas City, Pat Mahomes.
And that was Kansas City signing Sammy Watkins, which I think was a team that kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. When I woke up and saw this signing, I was like, Sammy signed with Kansas City. I immediately was like, okay, I like this spot because of Mr. Mahomes and his hashtag arm talent. But Sammy signed for 3 years, $48 million, becoming the highest paid receiver in this free agent class. Do you think that this move gets Pat Mahomes into QB1 territory this year if they run more of an air raid offense? And Tim, do you have concerns around Sammy, him being in a similar situation from a target perspective that he was in LA? You know, they still got Travis Kelce, they still got Tyreek Hill, they've got Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. Do you see this being, from a dynasty fantasy perspective, there are going to be some target concerns in Kansas City with our man Sammy Watkins?
You nailed my concern. Is the target concern. He has a very similar game to Tyreek Hill. Mm. It's a lot of speed. They're not known for their, you know, overall route running abilities. I think
Tyreek's definitely more versatile, though. I mean, I think you can line him up a little bit everywhere.
Yes. I think Sammy is strictly a wide receiver where you can get Tyreek, you know, going different directions, doing different things. But yeah, again, same thing. I didn't even hear a rumor about Kansas City. So this would kind of caught me off guard, but I like it. I like it for Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the biggest winner out of this. I don't think that Sammy wins. I don't think that Tyreek wins because of this. I think it's going to help Tyreek with a guy on the outside. What it really hurts is Chris Conley, though.
Yeah, the spark freak. Oh, coming off an Achilles, which is still the only Achilles injury I've ever visually seen, like, tremble up his back of his leg. It was bad.
Tim, is he?
I have Chris Conley ranked at 201.
So is he out of your top 12 receivers now?
Barely. He's just hanging on.
It's just like his Achilles.
Barely hanging on, yeah.
by some silly string.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, so I think Kansas City, they will definitely be an offense to watch. There's a lot of young, exciting offenses here in the NFL, and I think Kansas City, now they might not be able to play much defense, which is good for their offense because maybe they'll be behind in games because they got rid of almost all of their veteran defensive players. Obviously, they traded Peters. Derek Johnson's no longer on the team. Tamba Hali is gone. Ron Parker is gone. And they've made a couple signings for defense, but nothing to replace those guys. So I think that, you know, they might be playing from behind in games, which is exactly where I want Kansas City's offense to be because they have the juice to come back in games if Mahomes is the quarterback that we think he's going to be. And his arm, I think he can be that guy.
I have some questions. Mm-hmm. So on Twitter, I posted some stats. Alex Smith had a 4,000-yard season.
Yep.
And Tyreek had, I think, 1,100 yards. Kelce had 1,046, I think. And Kareem Hunt had about 500. Mm-hmm. Now, at 4,000 yards for a quarterback, that, you know, you lost Albert Wilson, who had 500. And, I mean, Charcandrick West, I think, only had 200.
He Conley much, probably had a few hundred before he got hurt, maybe.
Yep.
DeMarcus Robinson.
So, yep, you're always going to have those other players with, like, 200, 300 mm-hmm. here or there. So, with Sammy, you would think Mahomes is going to throw. He won't throw for 4,000 unless he has a spectacular second year. As much as I love Mahomes, I don't know if he can hit 4,000 unless, you know, they don't run it with Kareem.
That's like, what, 250 a game?
Yeah. Now, who is losing targets and yardage to Sammy?
It's got to be Tyreek. in my opinion. I mean, you don't pay Sammy that money and then not use him.
How far down is he going to go?
I don't think he's going to fall that much. Well, the thing about Tyreek, it's not necessarily like he's not going to absorb a ton of targets, but he is going to get you. He's the big play guy, right? So, you know, he could still get you 10 touchdowns, but only have 800 receiving yards. But he could have over 1,000 all-purpose yards because they do use him in the backfield. And, you know, he has a lot of value on special teams with kickoff returns. So he can usually add in a special teams touchdown during the season. So I think Tyreek Hill takes a slight bump down. I don't have him falling that far in my rankings because of the explosiveness. When you have two explosive receivers like that, they can complement each other. It just really depends on how Andy Reid wants to run this offense with the two of them. Like, I could see Tyreek, you know, Sammy drawing the coverage deep and Tyreek doing a lot of work underneath and just catch and run and getting yak and busting big plays. So that could be part of it. And then, you know, the other way is you could flip it and Tyreek goes deep. Sammy catches the short stuff. So they have a lot of flexibility, especially when you have an elite tight end like Travis Kelce. They can do a lot of really creative things if they choose to do so and really maximize the player's strengths on the roster. And like we've seen in the NFL before, there's offensive coordinators out there like Tennessee last year that didn't maximize the strengths of their players. But if Kansas City does that, I have confidence that all three of these guys can be very, very productive. But to short answer, Tyreek gets a little bumped down.
So here's my idea. You got Kelce going down to 900, Tyreek going down to like 750. But like you said, I think he's going to have a high touchdown number, mm-hmm. like a 9, 10. I think Sammy hits about 900, maybe 1,000. And I think Kareem Hunt hits about 500 to 600. And I do think Mahomes gets close to 4,000 because I love Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean 4,000 I think is doable. If Alex Smith can do it in that offense with really three pass catchers, if you add Hunt and then they add a Sammy, like, yeah, I think Mahomes can do that if like I said, if we think he's going to be the guy that we think he is. So
I mean, Cam Newton did it his rookie year, and Mahomes could be Cam Newton.
He was throwing to what, like Mushin Muhammad still?
Yeah, Jericho Cotchery.
Oh, yeah, Crotchery. I forgot about him.
Doug, I think you brought up a good point. I think Sammy can go deep, and we know how Tyreek is as a kick returner. You run some tunnel screens, some bubble screens, and you let Tyreek kind of get that ball in his hands in the short passing game and then just work his way through the traffic, kind of like Denver was using Demaryius Thomas for all those years.
Oh, that wide receiver bubble screen, man, yeah. That was deadly for a while.
Get the ball in his hands quick, and then just let him use his, you know, essentially his returner skill and just get upfield.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a big difference between Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill has long speed, but I think Sammy has that center fielder mentality, and I think he's one of the best in the league at kind of locating the ball and playing it perfect. I think Sammy's great at playing the ball on deep throws, so... Yeah, I would love to see it that way. I mean, you use Tyreek, he gets 4 catches a game. Sammy gets 4 to 6. So, yeah, I mean, this offense is going to be very interesting.
Offense.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And like we said, a lot of the corners in that division are gone. So there is a lot of defenses that are hurting.
And like you guys said, lack of defense, offense production, they're going to be in some shootouts this year.
Which is exactly where we want them to be. Mm-hmm. For fantasy, maybe we might see some Allen Robinson-esque, some late season or late game heroics. Which
yeah,
be
you
nice.
Gotta look at that. Robinson had 1,400, and Allen Hearns, I think, had 1,000 yards.
He did.
That
he had
year.
10 touchdowns that year too. I think.
Yep.
Which was just crazy.
So, anything can happen.
Yes.
Blake Bortles QB1.
Oh man, followed by Mahomes at QB2. So that is going to wrap us up this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. Thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you go into iTunes, leave us a review. 5 stars are good. If we get any reviews, we'll read them on the air, which is always exciting, so you can get a shout-out for us. So make sure you go ahead and do that. Until next week, I have been your host, Doug Eddy. You can find me on Twitter at TheFantasyFather. You can find Tyler at DHH_Tyler, and you can find Tim at DHH_Tim. So we will see you next week when we cover the NFC and all the free agent coverage that you can have in one spot. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michigan Curry.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH underscore Tim, Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.